Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
All right, Ron. What's going on, everybody? Highway Diary, episode
20.
I'm here with a couple of fellas from the Candy Dinner podcast.
Thank you.
Here with the Apple Doctor and Iffy.
Yep. Apple Doctor, yep. How you doing?
Iffy Shakuda and Wadiway, rocking it.
Thank you so much for doing this, guys.
Thank you for having us on.
Well, we actually all met recently. We knew each other from the Self-Indulgent podcast.
Yep. It's crazy how many people you run into like that. Like, oh, it's like almost a rite of passage. Oh, I've done self-indulgent. We've all done self-indulgent.
Yeah. And it kind of is. Well, you know, doing a stand-up and improv is a small community anyway.
So you kind of
run into each other.
Yeah.
We actually ran into each other at the Liquid Zoo the other day.
Not that long ago,
Like maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I actually invite everybody, but only Iffy and Eric Wargo came by. I feel like when I invite everybody, Apple Doctor, you know, you thought you were left out of it.
No, I didn't feel maybe left out. I think I went, I think I was just sitting, because there's something about watching open mic comics that is like, it's masochistic in a weird way. Like you're like, sometimes, well, if you're watching bad comics anyway, you're like, I can't stop watching this. So I think I would have gone, but I was just too busy watching the show.
Yeah, you were hypnotized by the violence.
Yeah, exactly.
The bombings.
Yeah. Like, there's something intriguing about it that it's just like, oh, this is mesmerizing in a weird way, and I can't stop watching. It's like watching a train catch on fire or something.
Yeah. But do you smoke pot?
I do. I have a weird relationship with it. Like, I don't know. I respect it. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like, I'll indulge, but at the same time, I'm just like, I know how I get, and it's like, because I'm a neurotic person, as you can hear, and it's just like, it doesn't do me well often.
So the invite for pot, you're like, I want to stay here.
Yeah, like, it's like, well, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'll do it, but then at the same time, it's like, I don't know how I'm, like, I don't do it and then do comedy. Like, I don't know how I would have done.
I feel like...
Also, I don't think we went up that night anyway. Was that the night that we left?
I think that's the night we ended up leaving.
Yeah, because we were there for 3 hours, and then it was like, okay, it's 2 a.m. now. Still haven't gone up. Yeah. Well, there's an hour left of comics.
I know, if you're in the Liquid Zoo, if you're not in the top 10...
Yeah.
Even if you do go up, it's like you're getting up during, like, a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
And it's like all the kids are running around.
Yeah.
And there's no audience or anything.
It's hard
to judge if your jokes are funny.
I feel like it should be a rule that, like, if you're a comic and you went up, you should stay for at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
At least 2 hours.
Yeah.
I know, I hear you. But it's like, if you do that, then
you can't get to another set or something.
You can't do three in a night if you're going to stick around at each one.
Yeah, there's a... It's... You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. It's fine.
Also, then, Iffy, you came back to my place and we smoked a little pot, and then I had a Playboy sitting out, and you looked at every single picture in that Playboy.
Yeah, like, when I look at a Playboy, I like to just go through...
You scan for the spank bank. Like, you're scanning it with your eyes, and then it goes right in your brain.
No, I just like to see... every picture in there. I don't know why. It's a weird thing, like, because I'm never going to buy a Playboy, so I'm like, might as well see.
I might as well look at all the boobs.
Yeah, so, and it's funny, because, like, that's something I apparently do all the time, because there's a improv place called The Clubhouse around here, and they had a Playboy sitting out, and I was doing the exact same thing, and a girl walks up, and I was like, okay, this looks up. But, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, you, oh, and she was, like, looking through it with me, and we were just sitting in the bathroom.
Like you were reading a story.
Yeah. We're just standing
there.
See,
it's all about how your mindset is. Because if you're going, if you're leafing through it and you're going, oh, I wonder if anyone weird is, or if you're self-conscious about it. But if you're just like, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking through a motherfucker Playboy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Then everyone's like, oh, that guy.
He's confident. He's looking at tits and he's cool with it.
Yeah, good
for him.
Yeah, but it was funny because, like, we ended up leaving, so I left. But as soon we ended up coming back, and I grabbed the Playboy and continued where I left off.
Yeah, you so have to finish it.
Yeah.
You are the Rain Man of Playboy.
The sad thing about the sad thing about it is, I'm really just looking for all the comics, like seeing like the goofy little comics. Not that I find them funny; they're really cheesy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know.
Also, I met you pre-sex and then you post-sex.
Yeah.
Now there's a glow about you.
Oh, thank you.
Apple Doctor.
Yeah.
Now it's like
I'm
you've gone through some kind of ritualistic initiation, right?
I'm now a man.
Yeah, there you go. Your balls drop.
Yes, I'm a man now.
So how do you feel there?
I feel good. It feels cool. You know, we're having a good time.
Do you look
girlfriend.
At the world differently? when you're looking at buildings or just walking down the street, you're like, it's been in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just like, yeah,
I
no.
got in.
Like, I saw this, I saw, you know, a possum dead in the street the other day. I'm like, hey, sucks for that guy, but I've got it. I got some.
I got it in there. It's fucking hot in here. I'm going to turn on the AC again.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I
might not be best for acoustics, but it's fucking hot in this car.
Would it be cool? If we rolled down a window, like, is that no, like, that, the thing?
I think this will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's less environmental, but more
more comfortable.
Look. So what you're actually listening to? We're sitting in a garage and we're about to kill ourselves. Last.
Yeah, there's a hose connected to the exhaust, funneling through the window. Death cast.
So our energy levels are going to be dropping.
Yeah, severely, because our lungs are going to be filled with nitrous oxide. That's how it works.
Hey, these are extreme times. You got to do what you can to get ratings.
We
on
left
the
a note with the Podbean info, so it gets uploaded.
Please upload.
So I wanted it to go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing some people watching right now.
Walking on somebody's house right there.
Yeah, someone just walked over someone clearly homeless mattress.
And the dog, there's a little dog that's like, oh!
It's funny, because I was recording yesterday around my, like, right outside my house in my car, and there was just, like, a hooker run. Like, a guy came by in a van, dropped off two hookers.
Wow.
They went
get out the car, bitches!
Then, and it was ridiculous. They were all just, like, wearing, like, you know...
Their hooker clothes.
Their hooker clothes. And then, at
their
the end...
Their costumes.
And then, like, a couple hours later, there was, like, three that walked by. Like, they all got pagers, and they all got beeped simultaneously, and then they were all walking away.
Feel like you're that close to Liquid Zoo, so, like, if you wanted to, you can get top 10 every night, like... Or every Wednesday, rather.
It's tough, though, you know.
Because people show up, like, a couple hours early, right?
And also, sometimes if you're hanging out there and you're not actively, like,
searching
being a little meerkat, like, can I get on the list? Can I get on the list?
Yeah, you miss it.
Then you miss it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because no one's going to stick up for you, like, oh, yeah, that guy was in front of me. Everyone's like, I want to get on the fucking list. So it's funny, you guys, I was listening to Last Candy Dinner in preparation.
Yeah.
You guys just went through a Taco Bell... mid-podcast.
Yeah.
That's an interesting style.
It's a new segment, actually. We did it probably like two podcasts before that. We went through a McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, and it came like after through the drive-thru, we started having this discussion about like social issues because if you wanted a Transformers toy from the Happy Meal and the, like, you know, when we ordered the Happy Meal, the... waitress, I don't know, drive-thru attendant was like, is the toy for a girl or a boy? And we were like, well, what does it matter? Like, a girl could want to play with a Transformer if she wanted to. Like, a boy could play with a Hello Kitty. Like, that's cool. Like, it doesn't matter. And so it brought up interesting discussion. So we thought it was interesting.
So that's why I like going through drive-thru now, because it just generates some new content. And if it doesn't, we can just cut it out.
It was fun. There's a familiarity of you just talking shit about the service taking a long time. You guys were freaking out about if you can get breakfast.
Yeah.
If this is like the AM Mountain Dew is also a breakfast menu. And then you're like, well, if it's a fountain in the fucking soda machine, why the fuck can't I have
it? We had a lovely guest, Erica from Taco Bell. That was awesome.
She gave you a shout out.
Yeah.
So. Podcasting is weird where it's like you guys are just living your life documenting this seemingly mundane experience.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's interesting because. It's almost like podcasts are like an audio documentary in a way, because we're just kind of like going through our life. Like you said, like we're just recording our experience, and sometimes it's weird. It gets weird, and that's just part of life, and that's just how it is. And so it, you know, it generates weird content. It's like there's this frontier. Like, there's not a set format of how a podcast is supposed to be. Everyone has their own version of a podcast. Sean Lewin has his podcast. It's very, it's professional in a weird way. It's funny watching because I know him very well off, like, podcast. And so seeing him run a show is a very different Sean Lewin. So, like, he has his way. You have your way. We're in a car. We do ours in our car as well.
But yours is way more, like...
Yeah, you have a microphone, at least. We're doing it on a phone.
And, I know. You got notes and all that.
Yeah, just because I have a big binder. That's my budget.
Yeah,
that's
well, our budget is drive-thru.
Drive-thru and talking.
Yeah. I stole this binder from work because it was, like... It was in this weird supply situation where it seemed like it was a surplus supply. And then, you know, so I took it. But it's the fattest binder in the world.
Yeah. But it's... It's sturdy and durable.
I want to bring up something. We were talking about Sean Lewin. That's obviously how we all know each other.
Yeah.
I go on that podcast and I do a lot of shit talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing that I think that California people don't understand.
Okay.
I'm from the East Coast.
Where are you from?
I'm from Jersey.
Okay.
And so in New Jersey, okay, if a bunch of dogs are together and one dog is like acting like a dick, the other dogs will, like, bite that dog in the neck and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Leave me alone.
In the East Coast, if you're acting like a douche, you will get called out so specifically.
Yeah.
And I feel like on the West Coast, no one gets called out, and people have
Everyone's a douchebag, and it's fine.
Yeah, inflated egos based on nothing because no one's ever called them out on shit.
Okay.
And I've said things to people, and it's almost like a paradigm changing. Like, I give them mushrooms because they're like, oh, no, fractals of how I'm a douchebag.
Yeah.
When you're shouting shit
They suddenly had this self-realization, like, because no one has told them before, so their bubble has been popped. And like, wait a sec.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm learning a lot from the East Coast of just, or from the West Coast. Yeah. Just,
how long have you been here?
4 years now.
Okay, okay.
I'm just like being nice to people, which is really weird for me, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I think that there is a value in that kind of East Coast thing of, because you learn a lot about yourself when, like, smart people are telling you about yourself, dude. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Where are you guys from?
I'm from here, California.
You guys are both from here?
Yeah. California natives.
Bro.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I have family from New York, and I've been to New York, and it's a very different experience. Like I don't think I've heard as many people swearing, like, on the street at each other. It's like strangers. More than I was in New York. And, like, my grandpa, like, he'll call everyone, like, he's like, his catchphrase is, oh, you're a dingbat. Like, he calls everybody a dingbat, and it's just like, that's a very just New York thing, and it's, like, they just call each other out. Like, it's in, like you said, it's so specific. Like, it breaks you down exactly to the last crumb of you as a person.
Yeah.
I think the best comparison between East Coast and West Coast was, I forgot who said this in stand-up, but they're like, in New York, when someone says, fuck you, it means good morning. And in California, when someone says good morning, it means fuck you. everyone out here, like, will pretend to like you when they really hate you, because just to keep civilized, quote unquote.
Well, even, like, just in LA in general, because everyone's trying to get something out of each other. Like,
They don't want to cut. They don't want. I have people who I know do not like me, but they won't cut ties because they know I'm talented and they want to be able to, like, pop up if something ever happens. And I'm not the only person who they do it with. Anyone who has talent, they'll know they're a dick, but still hang with them because if they pop, they'll be like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. I never say anything mean to you. I always supported you. So now, hey, can I ride your coattails up?
Yeah.
But I feel like in the East Coast, you know, there's a South Park that was making fun of Jersey Shore people and Jersey people. And they're like, I just want to get my point across. Yeah. And then they'll say, like, crazy shit. But the way I see it is, it's like, I don't want to have something in my mind of a reason why I don't like someone without just saying it to them and then be like, okay, now we can like each other again, but I have to tell you this thing. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be on my mind every time I see your dumb face talking at me. And I want to go, hey!
Anyway. And see, for me, I think, especially, like, that's something that I've always done, like, because I don't take shit personally, and I think this is really a like, the way, everything we've been talking about is the reason people in California are like this. But, like, when you finally do tell them how you really feel, people make a big deal about it, and then they hold a grudge for it. But for me, like if you heard the last self-indulgent, how, like, me and Josh got into it, and I was like, my biggest fear was that you were going to hold it, because I don't hold against me. Like, after, I was fine, because I kind of appreciate that, and I think it's because my dad is Nigerian, so that's how he is. He'll, like, if you ask him, like, say, like, oh, shit, Dad, you know, I'm going to be late on rent, I need some money, he's going to chew your ass out first and then be like, okay, so here's the money, but don't do it again.
Right.
And I think a lot of parents do the reverse, where they don't. They're like, oh, it's okay, and all that. So a lot of kids get used to being like, okay,
things given to them. And
it's okay if I fucked up, and there's not the consequence. You need to be like, look, you got to get your finances in order and shit. I don't know. Me and Josh Nichols have also bumped heads just a little bit.
Yeah.
And, sometimes.
Heard that.
But I just feel like, I don't know. I felt like he's a bragger. And when I'm watching, when I'm listening to
He's a big personality as well. So it's like.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get a couple things squared away about Josh Nichols right now. Let's just clear some air. Okay. No, but I feel like when I'm listening to this self-indulgent podcast, you know, and then when he started, when he joined up, it's like I feel like maybe it's because, you know, I don't know what I want to say here. He just seems like the kind of person who has a really low self-esteem, so he has to constantly say things that, like, self-affirm himself.
Okay.
Where, you know, he'll just drop, like, anyway, so, yeah, this girl, like, was all over my dick at this, like, party. And you're just like, really? That's the story you choose to say? You walk around looking like that and everyone's after your dick.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, so just, it's like the reality of his physical appearance and then this is what I'm going to say. These are the stories I'm going to choose to say to compensate for how I walk around.
Right.
How about you take responsibility for yourself and, you know, have some fucking fruit juice for once.
I have a different perspective on Josh. Like, I don't know, just because I think we work with him so much and, like, we do improv. So, like, and I feel like this, like, we've reached new ground. Like, more recently, because, like, I've never really, what words am I trying to say with my mouth?
Distracted by the booty.
Just distracted by the booty.
By the booty walking around.
Like, I've always respected Josh as, like, an improviser and a guy that runs a company. And so but I never really got a chance to really, like, really pick his brain or, like, talk to him. So when we interviewed him on Candy Dinner, after that, like, this was just recently. Like, we interviewed him and it was, I had a great time with him and, doing self-indulgent with him was, I like making him laugh, and I've improvised with him more recently, and so now just, like, all of that, we have this, like, I feel like we have this new relationship, so it's, like, I feel like we're closer and we're better friends, so, like, I value him more, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm in
the same spot?
No, I think I'm in between you and him, where me and Josh are close, but because I'm in the OC, I can't really participate a lot, so, like, I get some of the farness, but I get the closeness, so I'm, like, right in between you two, and I think the big misconception is Josh takes a lot of shit for his appearance and everything he does, but in person.
I was joking with him yesterday, like, because someone was making a run at the liquor store, and it was Jack Wanzera asked if he wanted anything, and he was just thinking about it. I was like, Josh, they don't have pizza there. And he was like, oh, you know what? No, never mind. I'll get pizza later. So I enabled him with pizza. So
yes, but because he takes so much shit, I think that he feels like he doesn't have to really venture into that. And I think the best kind of example of his kind of mindset was when I first saw him do stand-up. The first thing he said when he got on stage was, I see how everyone's looking at me, and no, I'm not going to say a fucking fat joke. Because I think, you know, he gets it enough to where he's like, okay, it's fine, I don't have to talk about it. But I think because that's in person, and on when he's on air, that's all you hear, it can come off as, like, bragging.
But now I'm glad that I had that sound drop added, because now I think it's in his mind where every time he starts bragging, you know, Andy T hits that fucking brag button.
It's so funny. And that's, now it's like that, you did that. Yeah.
Take that, Josh Nichols. I'm not going to think about what you're fucking saying. But look, here's the thing. I've never seen Josh Nichols improvise once in my life other than the self-indulgent podcast.
He's so fun to watch.
I'm sure he's a fucking brilliant improviser, but I don't know that. And I respect him for running a company. Yeah. Obviously, there's no OC improv scene or very little of it, and he's starting that up. I've done improv for 9 years. I love improv. Yeah. So that's all fucking great.
I think maybe you got to come out to the OC and maybe watch a show.
I should, sure.
Get a different lens on the whole situation, maybe.
But I'm like I'm such a, like...
You want to keep this... Do you want to keep this perception, or do you want to change?
No, I'm such a egomaniac, too. I'd be like, I'm only going to come out and see a show if I get to perform as well. That's why, like, I don't want to let a show happen without a rebuttal of what my skills look like.
Fair enough, yeah.
No, that's...
Anyway... You know, that's that. I want to talk about a little politics for a little bit. We've been looking on the news. I don't know how much you've been following this, guys, but about the government shutdown. It's like every 3 months they have to renegotiate the debt ceiling and raise the debt ceiling again. Otherwise, it's going to be a government shutdown. So every 3 months, everyone comes to the table and then takes more money away from the system, like the more spending cuts or whatever, taking more money away from the system. And then, you know, we're still not taxing the bankers who are thieving us.
Okay.
Like left, right, and center. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Oh, I think it's funny that they can meet every 3 months but not think to change once. Like, they do the same shit every 3 months.
Like, our House of Cards is crumbling. Let's meet up and, you know, make it so... Now, I'm struggling for the attention of Iffy right now because there's a very attractive lady walking around and
he wants a dog. I was looking at the dog.
Yeah. He's like looking at her like looking through a Playboy. Like, I want to see her from every angle before I stop
it was just
staring.
It was somebody who I thought I knew.
Okay.
That is in a... that is in a monogamous relationship. So I thought I got one of those glances.
Oh, you thought you got a scoop on
Yes.
Oh, we're like private investigators.
Yeah. What are you doing over there with that guy?
Yeah.
I know. Plug it. Like, if you want to know what's going on with your boyfriend.
Listen to the highway.
Yeah.
Episode 20.
Hey, thanks.
Tell your friends to listen to.
Giving us a plug there.
When this posts, we'll post on Candy Dinner.
Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of, let's talk about some hardcore conspiracy action.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a HARP facility in Alaska.
What does HARP stand for? I'm sorry. I don't know. What is the basis of what they
do? High-frequency active auroral research program.
Ooh.
Now, in Alaska, there's this, like, 5 acres of all these antennas that are pointing up towards the sky, shooting microwaves in the sky. And a lot of people think that this setup here is to control weather. And the original patents is for weather control and for mind control. So they can, like, throw out waves at the same frequency as your mind, bounce them off the clouds, and everyone is put in a sedated state so the military can come in and put everyone into FEMA camps or something. Yeah. But a lot of people are saying that if you have a weather modification thing, and people can't visit it. They say national security. You can't visit this HARP research thing. Or you can't.
So it's like Area 51?
Exactly. So a lot of people are saying that Obama used HARP to create Hurricane Sandy. Now, there's not a lot of, like, actual...
I think...
Go on.
Conspiracy people are so interesting. This is like, thanks, Obama, but to the extreme. Like, they don't want to accept that weather is a thing, and so they're like, okay, this is Obama's fault, clearly. Let's connect these loose dots.
I think this is why, instead of forcing kids to do math so much in school because you're going to use it for the rest of your life, they should do science, because this is things that people clearly don't understand science, so they just make up shit. And that's, like, Google, the internet itself, you can get information on anything, and you can probably research this and disprove it within 2 minutes, but because they go to this site and read it, it's true. Yeah. I remember when they had that one... Bill, people were going crazy over saying that Obama can put Americans in a prison.
Yeah.
And I downloaded that whole document, went to the clause. It says nothing about it there. But people were just fighting so
hard. Yeah, but you can read legalese, though? Like, isn't it written in a way in which...
No, it's like... actually pretty plain English. It's in this case, you can do this. It's not legalese. It's actually... You can go through it and read it because it's written, because stuff like that is public record, so they don't write it in legally, mm-hmm. so people can understand it. So, like, all you really had to do was go to that exact clause and would see.
And read?
Yeah, and read, and you would find out it wasn't true.
But did they say that if you're suspected of being a terrorist, then we can lock you up indefinitely without a trial? And whose opinion is it to suspect? The government. So government can go, oh, you know what? I suspect that you're a terrorist, so now you're in jail for the rest of your life. I think that's not true, you're saying.
What's going on?
There's just a booty patrol going
on. One, it's a very nice day today.
Yeah,
two, everyone's getting their walk on.
No, but the gym is in the other direction, so I don't know why.
They're doing this on purpose. This is a conspiracy. This is Obama sending out mind-controlling booties.
Yeah, because he found out we were going to talk about this, crack the case. He sent these booties down there in these short shorts to distract us from the subject. But we will press on.
That's it. It's just like...
You hear that, Obama?
You know what? Right now, I just have like...
How many times do you think we mention Obama that we get put on some sort of list?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're terrorists now.
I have a binder right now. Now it's like the internet, because we're trying to look at the binder and reading the news story, but then, you know, like, ads for porn comes up, because girls keep walking by, and they're distracting us from... Yeah. Okay, well, you say...
I feel like this should all be in Comic Sans. Like,
I'm gonna pass this one for a place. Actually, let's do this.
Go for it.
Seven conspiracies that actually happened. So you guys seem to be conspiracy rejectors, but these happen. These have been confirmed.
I like... reading about conspiracies, but I don't believe them. Like, you know what I mean?
They're fun, like soap operas.
Yeah, and then
you can read stuff, and then I listened to this one guy. We had, actually, episode 18 was all about conspiracies, and I just, like, DJ'd a bunch of different MP3s of crazy conspiracy people talking.
Uh-huh.
And one guy's this guy, Benjamin Fulford, and he claims to be, like, in with the Japanese Freemasons, and he's, like, always talking to, like, the Rothschilds directly and the Rockefellers directly, and he's always like, oh yeah, the Pope resigned because of these weird financial things, and you're like, what the fuck?
I love reading stuff like that, because it's like, oh, that's cute that someone thought that. And but, I love hearing about like the Illuminati, and I love Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura's fucking hilarious.
I feel like people who believe that and so hard are the people
they didn't read
who
were
reading like fairy tales, and they're like, oh, here, all right, now we're gonna move on. No, I want to keep reading fairy tales.
It is weird because with the internet, there's so many niches of information that you can choose to get on a stream to. Like, if you want to listen to everything CNN says, you can do that. If you want to listen to anything the conspiracy says, you can do that. So, because there's all these niches going on.
Yeah, you can pick and choose what you want to read and believe.
And what you put your mind in, the flow of information. But I just think conspiracies are fun.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just a soap opera I like keeping up with.
I think the truest thing I've heard recently is that we're in the age of disinformation. Because we're not... Even from reliable news sources, you're not getting 100% true stuff. They're spinning it in a way that will help their agenda. Like, you have journalism is supposed to be this unbiased form of information. But journalism right now, if you say a news network, they have a side. Like, you got left, you got your right stuff. And you can read whichever side you want to. But either way...
You're not learning a lot because you're not hearing what the opposing thing is. Except you're making really easy arguments and then smashing them. And then you're like, I'm right. See? They confirmed I'm right.
Yeah.
It's weird. Here's a conspiracy that happened. In 1933, a group of wealthy businessmen, allegedly including Chase Bank, GM, Goodyear, Standard Oil, the DuPont family, and Senator Prescott Bush, tried to recruit the Marine Corps... and a General Smedley Butler to lead a military coup against President FDR and install a fascist dictatorship. They tried to do this. And now, what this doesn't say is they tried to recruit the Marine and Major General Smedley Butler. So all these people got together and sent a memo to the Marines and General Smedley, and they were like, hey guys, you want to like... have like a military coup, and then they're like, no, and then they're like, okay, I wanted to send an email anyway.
And to be honest, like, that's a, like, this guy General Smedley needs to be put to the sword or something, because that's freaking treason.
Operation Snow White. Sometime during the 70s, the Church of Scientology decided they'd had enough. The religion about magic space aliens in the volcano wasn't getting the same respect as other religions. So what they did was, instead of converting to a slightly less silly religion, they did what anyone would have done and decided to destroy every single document that made their religion look bad.
Wow.
So all they did, they went on Operation Snow White, and they... infiltrated the FBI in the headquarters, literally, in the 70s, when if you could steal... Because things weren't, like, backed up with computers.
Yeah.
So if you stole the files, they didn't have the files anymore. Yeah. And so they went to, they went into Operation Snow White. They went into the fucking FBI and they took all, and they tried to take all the files. And because they were Scientologists and not like trained, you know, like for doing this, they all got arrested. And then L. Ron Hubbard took to the seas. But anyway,
I think Scientology interests me so much because it's like so prevalent here, especially in LA. Because you hear all these things, like, I heard that, you know, that there's that rumor about, I think, Barry Manilow, that he had to go to the emergency room or something to get his stomach pumped. It was either Barry Manilow or Rod Stewart. I can't remember. I get them confused sometimes. But somebody had to get their stomach pumped, and it had, they had, like, it was some insane amount of semen in their stomach, so that's why they had to get their stomach pumped. And allegedly, that rumor was started by the Church of Scientology, because the person, whoever it was, Rod Stewart or Barry Manilow, well, I'm leaning towards Barry Manilow.
Either one of those dudes.
Yeah,
there was a
rejected Scientology.
Story.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then, they were like, oh, well, fuck this guy. We're going to get him.
He had his cum pumped out his stomach.
Yeah.
Now, thanks for fucking with us, Barry Manilow, and
no,
or
everybody thinks you got cum.
And then you have
stomach.
That whole thing, like, you know, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, like, they got divorced, and, like, they were, like, following Katie Holmes. Like, it was just this whole weird thing, and I'm just so interested. Like, someone that I met at UCB, like, went to the church as, like, on a whim or something, or called them, and he got calls for years. Like, oh, are you ever going to come back and visit? Like, we want...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just this whole weird thing.
In the age of the internet, I feel like now if you want to join Scientology, you'll Google it first. Scientology operates where it's like they don't tell you what's at the next level. You have to research more of to get into the next level. And and on the internet, everything's posted.
Yeah.
So in the age of the internet, when you're selling, like, different paths of bullshit, it's like choose your own adventure, and then you take all these different classes, and they give you the secret knowledge, and you pay a lot of money. Now, it's like you can just read all the choose your own adventure without spending hundreds of thousands of dollars
that,
to do it.
It's to me, it's kind of interesting how laughable some people find it to be. And I don't really find it more laughable than every other religion, because I'm not a religious person. So I'm just like, well, how is that any weirder than, like, a guy talking to a bush that's on fire? Like, I don't get it.
I know. Well, I just think in the modern age that someone was able to rock it like this, and after he died...
Is it because it's new? Like, that's what's weird about
it? Yeah, that's totally why.
Yeah.
Because you gotta understand, like, Christianity is pretty damn old, so like this country was kind of built on it. Like, people trying to say it wasn't built. No, that's why they were trying to have free religion.
Is that like the same reason like that people kind of make a joke out of Kwanzaa? Because like it's like the guy that invented Kwanzaa teaches at my school.
It's why the reason why is because it's a made up holiday. All holidays have some at least form of basis.
Also, it's not like if you're gonna make up a holiday, do a better job. Like the gifts in Kwanzaa, like you get a basket of fruit.
Because you start at the fire.
Okay.
So
if he is an African American man, if you didn't know,
like actually African American. I'm African. That's why.
That's where the baritone and the voice is coming from. What about Kwanzaa?
My voice.
But Kwanzaa was made up because he felt black people needed a holiday, and this is something I really don't get about just sometimes. People who they have the best intentions, but with the black movement, they're like, black people need our own version like this. Like, it's like, no, that's just personal segregation. Like, I don't want to be the best black this, I want to be the best this. But everyone wants to be the first black this, best black this,
right.
And we got our own black network. Like, if I was a musician, I wouldn't want to be on BT, I want to be on MTV, because then you're limiting yourself.
Yeah.
There are people out there who think they can't watch BET because it's the black channel, and I don't think black people need our own thing. We just need to
be a part of everyone else's thing.
That's because that was what Martin Luther King's goal was anyway. It wasn't to unite.
Yeah,
it was to unite. That's why he says, you know, little black boys and little white girls holding hands. Like, he wants us to meld. So like all these like movies with black directors that only have black people in it, like that's why those movies aren't successful. That's not the world. Like, there's other people other than black people. So when you create this world and there's only black people, one, it's hard to sell it, and two, it's hard to sell it to anyone who isn't black. Where is if I made a movie like I'm the screenplay I talk about writing, like that the only black person in that movie is going to be me and my cameo. Like, it's all, you know, it's all going to be just white people in it. And not because, you know, I don't care about black people. Just in the way I envisioned it. The way I envisioned it, the characters I envisioned it.
They're white. Like, they're white. Just, that's just how it happened.
Yeah, that's how it happened. And there are, I have to go back, there are going to be black people in there because I just remember the other characters that are in there. But just, it's not one or the other. Like, you know, it's not to say that, you know, only black people are wrong. But, like, movies where it's all white cast, that's still the same thing. Like, the world isn't just white. The world isn't just black. You need to mix it together to make it.
Yeah, and I think, like, BET is, like, black people have set up their own colored water fountain. And they're like, everyone drink from this. And you're like, isn't that what the fucking slave owners were doing?
Yeah.
How about we... I think I understand it, though, a little bit, because if you watch a lot of movie, it's like the black guy's just like the drug dealer or whatever, or he's the... So that's on them, but I like what you're saying. It's like, just have a movie where it's a bunch of different people.
Have, like, if you're tired of the movie where the black guy is the drug dealer, have the same movie, but make sure, you know, that there's still... It's still real. You're going to walk outside, you're going to see white people. You can have the black lawyer... And in the firm, but the firm can also have some white people. The firm could have some Asian people. The firm could have some Latinos. You can mix it up. It doesn't have to be all black the way through, because that just makes people, because we're in this, because of stuff like this, people just instantly go, oh, it's a black thing. Well, but more bringing it back to Kwanzaa, what annoys me the most is that he thinks that black people need our own holiday, and then he tries to play it off as if it's African. So as someone that's African, don't try and bastardize my race. If you want an African holiday, Africans have holidays. You don't have to make one up. If you wanted to make holiday for black people, why don't you talk to an African? We have our own holidays. And ask about those holidays and bring that here. Mm-hmm. But don't try and make your own one and sell it like it's African. Because when you run into an African, we think you're bullshit.
Let's talk about MK Ultra a little bit. MK Ultra was a CIA experiment to control people's minds. This is real. And then a lot of people say that now it's not called MK Ultra anymore. But so, what do you think about mind control? CIA mind control? They were giving people LSD and like gay bars and stuff just to see what would happen.
I feel like if people's minds are being controlled right now, that it's not working, because I run into constantly the dumbest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah,
and that people are just like annoy me like on the road. Like, I feel like if your mind's being controlled, that maybe. If the government, like, let's say the government is controlling your mind, they're going to make sure that you're doing the best thing, like, to fill out, you know, to fulfill whatever they want you to do. So they're going to keep you, like, on the straight and narrow, not be, you know, turned into a fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
No. But don't you think that idiots are easier to control? Idiots are easier
exactly.
To govern?
Then that's why, like, maybe there wouldn't be any idiots. You know what I mean?
No, there would be idiots. They want a stupid population that are easy to control.
Well, they're not getting me, because I'm a fucking genius.
See, the way I feel about all this, and conspiracy theorists in general, is how evil they make the government out to be. It's once again... someone who knows nothing. This government has nuclear warheads. Uh-huh. They have all of the technology to where they can fly into people's house, kill you, and be gone before anyone notices. Like, if they wanted to do any of this stuff, they wouldn't even have to research shit. Like, they can... This government can be fascist if it wants to. It can. Like, people think that the checks and balances are there.
What's stopping anyone from, like, just going Ozymandias on, like, just, like, New York? Like, just dropping a bomb on New York? Like, nothing.
Yeah, and even my favorite thing is, what the fuck are you doing in your life that you need to be afraid of having a drone strike happen to you? Like, what is going on in your life?
Look, I jaywalked. They're going to get me.
Yeah, like, what do you think this is? And, like, the thing that pisses me off the most is the same people that are bitching about this are the same people who was bitching back in 9/11, like, why can't we strike back faster? Why can't we strike back faster?
Right, right.
Like, this, because the technology we need, you automatically... People are so self-centered that anything that gets brought up as a weapon, they immediately think it's going to be for them. Like, no. We have enough weapons for you. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So what are you doing in your life that makes you think you're so important that the government even know you exist? Like, you're nothing. You're a speck of dirt in this fucking universe.
On a speck, though. Like, because I think about this all the time. Like, I think about, I don't like thinking about space, but thinking about space freaks me out because, like, you see that graphic that's like, oh, here's Earth and here's all the other planets. Yeah. Earth's pretty big in comparison to some, well, not, it's large enough where it's like, you feel like they're your peers with the other planets almost. And then you see the sun, sun's pretty big, pans out. There's a star that's bigger than the sun, keep panning out. Then the Earth becomes a pixel on that screen, and then you pan out more, and then it's gone, and you're just like, oh, we're fucking nothing.
Yeah. No, I love that thing, but in the end, no, shut the fuck up. We are something. We're living in this large world. But just because the universe is big, nothing else out there has the technology to reach us. So if there is some life out there, they're just as small as us.
That is the one conspiracy that I would like to subscribe to, because I feel like it's naive to assume that we're the only thing.
Yeah, but I think they're
probed last week. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, Sean Lewin on the Self-Indulgent Podcast to probe you.
Yeah, but people just get so into like trying to transfect their philosophies onto other people. Like, oh, we're small because of space. This is why you should feel the same way. No.
I think it's interesting that people think they understand, though. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? There's no way we know exactly what we're even capable of.
I think it's just me being an existentialist.
No, like, it's cool.
I know you're not, but I'm just talking still about the same group of people. Like, where it's like, you're so focused on trying to figure out how much we matter, but the world that you live in alone is so big. Like, you may think, oh, we're just a speck, but a lot of these people, you haven't even left your fucking country left. Yeah. Like, that was the most mind-blowing thing for me was when I went to Africa, and I was like, even though we're a speck on the judge, you don't even understand a
what
fifth
other people
of
are
that
doing
speck.
Elsewhere.
You don't even understand a fifth of that speck. You haven't even understood the speck, yet you're trying to marginalize us into this tiny speck.
And also, speaking of that, like, there's all these different cultures out there, and then you can just plug into conspiracies, or you can just then, like, even though, you know, the world is becoming more global, people are picking and choosing their information streams instead of, like you're saying, like, you go to Africa and you're like, whoa, this culture is so different, or just East Coast versus West Coast.
And also, didn't you say, like, when you went, it's not, like, what you even think? It's
because
totally different
the parts
that
of Africa that the media shows out here just makes it look like shit.
I thought I was going to
strip clubs I decided not to go to. There were, like, you know, there were bars.
It's like a hop in town.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was just like, there was just like a stream that everyone drank from and washed their clothes from, and it was just like AIDS jizz.
I know, that's exactly how the media makes
you wanted to see monkeys when you went, right?
Yeah, or I did. Whatever. I wanted to see, like, animals and stuff. I saw a monkey.
Did you go on safari a little bit?
No, they're, like, Nigeria is a city. Like, it looks just like L.A., but they have freeways and all that. The only thing that
did you
have
to get shots when you went?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing that they don't have, that we have out here in the United States is just free electricity. And really, like, they can be just as developed.
Or readily available electricity, because we pay for electricity.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you mean?
Yeah, okay. Just readily available electricity. Everything runs off of generators, hotels, sky rises, all that. And the only reason that is a problem is just politics. Politics is the problem. Like, if they need a decent politician who will use the country's money to set up those resources.
And that's why, if he's going to run for president of Nigeria in 2016.
Nope.
Well, you guys got any plugs to talk about?
I'm trying to think. Oh, April 5th, we have Puppet Mayhem show, Wrestling Puppet Mayhem show, if he's guest starring on that. I'm in the regular cast of Puppet Mayhem. That's going to be at Stages Theater in Fullerton, April 5th. Check PuppetMayhem.com for, I guess, the time on that. And Facebook.com/PuppetMayhem. Cherry Spit, well, when's this going up? On Tuesday? The Cherry Spit show will have happened already.
Yeah. I was going to say, my LA Sketchfest stand-up thing is tonight. And it's a stand-up competition. And if I win that, then I'll be there tomorrow, so you still wouldn't have heard it. But if I win the whole sketch competition, I will be hosting my own stand-up show.
Awesome.
At the iOS.
You get some of your friends on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know this, Iffy, but I do some stand-up.
I try to.
April 6th, I have a show in the Yoohoo Room, Flappers.
Oh, wow.
It's an important show, so it's 9:30, so check that out.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Candy Dinner.
Yeah, Candy Dinner Podcast, Facebook.com/CandyDinner, CandyDinner.tumblr.com, CherrySpitz.com, our other improv group, CherrySpitz.
ThatBlackNerd.com.
Cool.
Matt Apodaca on Twitter.
Wow. Wow.
Getting all the plugs.
They are a social network web that you can fall into.
Google.com.
No, I'm actually a proud sponsor of Bing. Bing.com.
Whoa.
Changing that up.
Hey, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Iffy and the Apple Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Highway Diary, episode 20. You know what to do, motherfuckers.